The purpose of Wealth Talk is to educate, inform, and hopefully entertain you on the subject of building your wealth. Wealth Builders recommends you should always take independent financial, tax, or legal advice before making any decisions around your finances.
Welcome to episode 169 of Wealth Talk. My name is Christian Rodwell, the Membership Director for Wealth Builders, and I'm joined today by our founder, Mr. Kevin Whelan. Hello, Kevin.
Hello, Chris. Good to be with you again. And you're looking distinctly bleary-eyed after a bit of a birthday bash and a celebration for a man of such young age. You're rather well.
That's it. I still know how to party. Yep. Had a good weekend. Thank you. But back in the hot seat, here we are once again, powering through. And we've got a fun episode today because obviously one of our biggest biggest values really at Wealth Builders is about sharing. It's about community. It's about supporting like-minded people who are on the same path. And, you know, we've got a big mission, Kevin. We're probably good to reinforce that and share that again with everybody as to what really drives us with our, you know, mission every day at Wealth Builders.
Yes. And I think our mission has been consistent and solid since episode one, which was when, Chris? When did we shoot episode one, or when did we record that?
That was around February 2019.
Ah, right. Okay. Well, I tell you what, I wish there was the same solidarity in politics right now. I think if anybody's out there who's a joiner, or a cabinet maker, they definitely need some problems, because there's definitely a problem going on in the UK government. There's a cabinet that's definitely broken. There's no shared values there, is there, really? They're pulling each other apart. But anyway, no political comment needed. But you know, going back to episode one, and I had reason to go revisit that because somebody reached out, and it's really quite poignant, Chris, because somebody reached out to me on LinkedIn and said, you know, I've been putting this off, this being, you know, being a grown up with money, I think she referred to it, for years and years and years. And now I've finally kind of got the reason to take action, which is the catalyst as we talk about it. You know, it's some reason to overcome inertia. And for some people, that catalyst is strong, like mine was with the death of a father very young. But for others, it comes to them, you know, in an odd way. But anyway, I listened to episode one again, and it just said, you know, we're on a mission. And so few people, despite the fact, and you know, Chris, when I go on stage often and talk, and if I was in a room, say, full of, let's say it was 1,000 people, and then I said, okay, hands up, everybody in the room who would like to be completely financially independent. How many hands do we get out of 1,000?
It's almost all of them, apart from those few people who just never, ever going to put their hand up for anything.
That's right. You get the ones who put their arms folded like that and going, you're not getting me to participate. But that's fine, you know. But internally, everybody would want to be financially independent. There's no reason not to be. But only 5 in 100 make it. So, you know, it's such a small number that are willing to take the steps to make it. And I think I want to reemphasize then the value of community to help you take steps, because the steps to build financial independence for many people, if you think about what kind of people do, whether they're involved in the tyranny of the routine of the day job or the routine of being in business, the doingness of being in business, and then multiple hats that business owners often wear, and everybody's time poor. The key challenge is, how do you find the time, number one? How do you find the wisdom to know what to do? How do you find people to trust to help you do it? And how do you even begin to know where to start? And we know that the wealth building process is a series of very small actions, not very large ones taken in one go. So it's almost like a monthly teeny tiny 1%, you know, teeny tiny 1%, teeny tiny 1%. And it's building layers upon layers of actions that are needed. But when people don't start, that's the killer. So when I re-listened to episode one, and our vision, Chris, which was kind of coined to get 50,000 people on track to become financially independent. What I mean by on track, I mean, following a plan, doing something consistently, and building confidence to know that financial independence is assured. And we often see that, don't we, as our members go through the academy process, the language they use once they've got it is confident. I'm confident now I will achieve financial independence. Whereas at the beginning, they were not confident at all. And you don't have to be a member of the Wealth Builders Academy. You don't have to be a full paying member. We're not about trying to just encourage people to commercially engage with us. You can participate with us on the outside, can't you? You can join our free Facebook group. You can join our community. And that's what I wanted to share, Chris, today, is the power of community, the value of community, and the impact on you that being in a community makes, because all too often, and very often, Chris, in different ways, people say to me, I mean, at the bottom, when this lady was saying, I've been putting it off for years, you know, I didn't know where to start or who to help me. And recently I was talking to one of our members in the academy, Chris, who's a very renowned doctor, and looking to, you know, get involved in business, and that's not his natural skill set, and saying, when it comes to business, I feel alone. Do you know what I mean? It's like when you feel isolated, when you feel alone, when you don't have a sounding board, whether you don't have an environment of trust, it's all too easy to get overwhelmed by the news, particularly right now, to be blown over by, there's just too many things to think about. And maybe even inside a family, the support environment of a family may not be conducive. We see that with wealth dynamics. Sometimes people in families not actually pulling together, but pulling themselves apart. So, Chris, I wanted to take this episode to talk about the seven values of being in a community, and to hope that, whether paid for or not, that's not our objective. Just join the community. And the community of wealth builders is built upon a number of shared values. And that, to me, Chris, is number one. So not just number one out of seven, but number one. You need to have an established set of values which are unimpeachable. They permeate through the very fabric of the community. And we don't tolerate a breach of those conditions. Now, Chris, you can post a link, aren't you, to the Declaration of Independence, or as we call it, the new Declaration of Independence that our members sign. But I'd like to almost make out a clarion call to action, Chris, loud and clear now. Shout it from the windy rooftops that we have right now, is please download the declaration. Sign the declaration, which basically says you're committed to your own financial independence, and you'll commit to some values like education, like sharing, like humility, like building knowledge, like sharing knowledge with the next generation as well as others. There's a whole raft of those that I won't go into, but that's the little stick of Blackpool Rock that is Wealth Builders. You know, you cut it and it's right the way through. And if you resonate with those values, whether you pay us or you don't pay us, I'm not worried about that. Get on the journey. Join the community. Be part of our 50,000. Now, of course, if we can help you accelerate that, for most people in our program, Chris, the journey to financial independence is between 3 and 7 years. Most people don't make it at all. So if the community can just help you make a little bit towards that, might take you 10 or 15 years. That's fine. But if you want to accelerate it, then there's a reason to be inside the community. But for now, just join it. So, Chris, please, can you post the link inside the podcast and wherever we have, and almost reach out again to ask people to sign that declaration and make a public declaration, which is really important when it comes to one of the other steps or one of the other key parts of being in a community, which is accountability. And well, I guess we'll get to that in due course.
Yes, we will. So if you're listening and you're not already a member of Wealth Builders, and a free member is really easy to join. So just head to wealthbuilders.co.uk/membership and you'll get access to video resources from Kevin and myself, which go through the principles of the wealth building process. There's some information in there which you can download, some ebooks, some information you can watch, some information you can listen to. So however you like to learn, we've catered for all styles in there. So that's wealthbuilders.co.uk/membership. That's the first step. And of course, we've got our Wealth Builders Facebook community as well. So do join us in there.
Yeah. So should we crack on? So after shared, you know, I like my sevens, Chris. So
yeah, let's roll into number two.
I don't think we've shoehorned this. I think we've done an elegant job here. No, number two is shared knowledge. So it's all about sharing. And it's not just, and the purpose is to give you an outcome. It's not just sharing for sharing's sake. It's an outcome. And the knowledge and the experience of others means that they can share that with you in a way that isn't just like academic experience. You know, you can read a book, you can go on a webinar, and obviously there are dangers out there, aren't there, in terms of education that's leading to courses that lead to more education, that lead to more courses. And we always counsel caution in that regard. What we want is you to be able to take some action. So given that there are only seven ways to build wealth, and there are seven pillars, you know, our home capacity, our pension, our investments, our portfolio of property, our business, our intellectual property, and our joint ventures, they're the seven, and they're probably well known by now to our listenership. But the point is, there's a multitude of different strategies within each of those different broad pillars. And I don't think now, Chris, the number of years we've been doing it, we've seen anything new for quite a while, which means whatever you want to learn, somebody else is already doing it. And the community is about connecting with others and with that visualization that I've often talked about, Chris, crossing a traverse or crossing a bridge where you are crossing, everybody's crossing towards financial independence. And as they cross and as you cross, you have the humility to reach out to ask for help, but you have the shared values principle absorbed in your DNA now, that you're willing and want to help somebody else who's further behind you. And that principle means there is no selfishness. The whole idea behind Wealth Builders is a selfless way of helping people build wealth. So you'll see that from our Trustpilot reviews. People talk about the community aspect of it all the time, and it's not about, well, we're trying to get people to buy more things in the community. We want the community to help each other, right? So that shared knowledge, that shared experience leads, Chris, to a better outcome and a more confident wealth builder transitioning from being financially insecure or financially secure towards financial independence and beyond that.
Very good. I like that one. Okay, so our third benefit of building wealth within a community.
Yeah, I think the third one is not just the knowledge, but the nuances, okay? So we talk a lot in Wealth Builders about opportunity and being proactive and not reactive. So when the economic wind is blowing as hard as it is, it's so tempting, isn't it, to simply, you know, to get out of the way of it and to, you know, what's the language we're hearing at the moment everywhere on the news? Tighten your belt. Batten down the hatches, hunker down, whatever it is, you know, get out of the way and stay quiet. We don't want to do that. We want proactivity. Now, when you're getting involved in proactivity, then you need distinctions. Distinctions are differences, small points of difference that can help you determine the narrowness and the effectiveness of your own ability inside a niche. And I believe wealth is created in niches. It's not created in following markets. I don't think anybody can seriously build their wealth in the stock market unless you're creating your own shares. So you can't build wealth from there. You can protect it. You can diversify. But you cannot be wealthy by investing in the stock market. You have to get involved. And what I love about distinctions, Chris, is the ability for different people with different wealth dynamics. And we know wealth dynamics is such an important tool. Again, I think you signposted that and quite regularly, that if you don't know your wealth dynamic, you should know that because it helps you determine who you are and then how best you can interact with people. It's quite scientific. So follow the science. Yes, wealth is a combination of science and artistry. Of course it is. But the science is the wealth dynamics and the artistry is the application of other people applying their knowledge in little distinct differences that you can learn and go, wow, I never even thought of that. And that's where you can get kind of inspiration from other people. And that's why we love sharing, don't we, on podcasts, not just case studies, but just the way people are just so outstanding in what they do and find little ways to cut and sharpen their diamonds so it glows for everybody else to see. And they're willing to share that and show that inside the community. So number three, Chris, distinctions.
Okay, I like that. All right. So number four, I know this one because when our members join us, we send out a big wealth chart. And the wealth chart's available, you know, anyone can get a copy of that or see that. That's on our website. We love that because you're able to track your progress. But on the wealth chart, we've got the seven pillars, we've got the wheel of wealth, we've got debits, we've got roof. So all of these names, right, these acronyms are something that are known within our community. And this is a key part as well, isn't it?
Yeah. So number four, language, common language. You know, when it's an interesting thing, Chris, and it's sometimes challenging for very successful people because they take for granted their successes either in their ability to earn income or their ability to make profit in a business. But all around them, you know, language of commonality is drifting in their life and they take it for granted. Okay. Everything you do, there's language, there's abbreviations, there's ways of talking that only you know, but you get so used to them, you abbreviate everything. And we're all about that too, but we tend to use acronyms I tend to try and find them, don't I? Make up the acronyms and to help us teach it. But the principles are that when you're building your wealth and you're learning new distinctions, you're learning new knowledge, you're going to learn new language. And one of the common binding principles of a community is shared language. So we want people, and I'll often, and it's, I feel sometimes, Chris, I'm a bit like a headmaster in a school. I meet people. I met one of our students recently, Chris, at a wonderful community gathering, actually. It was quite inspiring, actually, in the Northeast when I was up there just a few weeks ago. And I bumped into, there were two of our members there, but I was talking to one of them. And she kind of looked at me and I said, could you just remind me of the seven pillars, please? Right? And she got six out of seven, which wasn't too bad, right? I was really very pleased that, not for my own ego's sake, but if people can start to recall what the pillars are, and you can see that picture behind you, Chris, with the seven pillars and the roof perched on top of that and the foundation underneath it, which includes, of course, debits, which we've been running as a challenge to help build, I suppose, shared experiences and those distinctions inside the community on debt, education, bills, insurance, tax, and stock market fees, ways you can save money, find money, make money, and compound money very, very easily and very quickly, and usually things you don't think of, again, those distinctions. Anyway, the point of the language, Chris, is you're going to learn new language and you have to accept it. And don't feel negative about it. Feel pleased that you've learned some new words and some new language, because whatever strategy that you engage in, whether it's the stock market, whether it's property, business, intellectual property, or joint ventures, you're going to learn new words. So it's almost like get a book, keep a diary, have a journal that log, almost like you did when you were doing French or Spanish at school or college. You know, you've got a vocabulary book. Start to know the new words. And if you get any words you don't know, jot them down and look them up and start to build your financial intelligence. not just for you, but for the sake of the next generation as well, because they're going to hear these words too. And if you don't know them, you can't teach it. So absorb the language, learn definitely the seven pillars if you can, the different levels of wealth, you know, some of the basic principles, learn what a roof is, how to protect yourself and your family, learn what debits are. Try, if you can, to copy our language. But if you learn new language from other groups, you know, participate in that and enjoy the community of others as well, builders. So number four, Chris, language.
Okay, good. On fire. So let's just recap then. So number one, we had shared values, obviously talking about the declaration there. Number two was shared value with the knowledge, the education. Number three, distinctions. And then we've just had shared language, number four. So I think that's a good point for us to take a breath and head over to Trustpilot, because I forgot last week, didn't I? So let's catch up. Let's catch up. And actually, we have had one in from one of our members. And it's Ben. So Ben is saying, I'm still a fairly new member of Wealth Builders, but as soon as I joined, I could immediately see the value of being part of this trusted community. And I swear I didn't pick this on purpose. This just happens to be the latest one coming in. So the amazing podcast they have created really opened my eyes to the power of relationships and personal branding. I look forward to amending my Trustpilot review in the years to come, where I have hit my financial independence target and will be deeply thanking everyone at Wealth Builders.
Well, I hope so too, because you see, if you think about, just think about this for a minute, Chris, right? There's always going to be naysayers. There's always going to be people who don't believe, is Wealth Builders a cult? Is Wealth Builders, saying one thing but doing the other? That's just not true. It's just not true. So if you think about the value, let's say, Chris, we work with someone. Let's say it takes them 5 years, right, to become financially independent. And we've created the infrastructure to make that happen. And of course, we don't do the work. The work of building wealth is always your work. But let's say it takes you 5 years to do it. And let's say you joined a community in the first year. You were immersed in it, as we always want people to do in year one. And let's say they paid, £3,000. And then they paid for four more years, £1,500, right? So 6,000 plus three, 9,000. Chris, would you pay £9,000 to be financially independent for the rest of your life?
Sure would.
I mean, it's not a high price to pay, and some people don't stay with us that long. You know, they'll immerse in year one and then they'll feel confident. They don't need to join us. So the value that we get is tiny in proportion to the value our members get. And I just want to reinforce that we're not just, we're not doing something that's just about commercials here. I feel passionate about that, having created wealth on my own, but it took me 15 years. I've mentioned this before. There was no community. There was no guidance. There was no shared language. I had to create the language. And now I'm so pleased and proud, Chris, that you and other high-quality people are joining Wealth Builders to help us get this message out, because we want 50,000 people to be on that track to be financially independent. Now, that's still a business for us, but it's not... It's tiny in proportion to the value we want to bring. So anyway, do you want to know number five, Chris?
Yes, please. I think this is an important one.
Yeah. Accountability. So I've heard all the excuses under the sun, right? Yeah. The economy's not right. COVID, I've just come out of COVID. There's all sorts of reasons people will give not to take the right action. And I understand that. And our job is not to poo-poo that. But it's to say, you have to take the action. But it's better inside a community of supported and supporting people to feel the level of accountability, not just you got your wall chart, not just looking for an accountability buddy or an accountability partner, your coach, turning up for opportunities, both on the masterminds on a monthly basis or events that we arrange. People will do more to hold themselves accountable to somebody else than they will often do for themselves. They'll often let themselves slide. We know this is true in aspects of health, aspects of wealth, and in fact, all aspects where it takes commitment. And I think the accountability of a community, holding you to account is a very, very strong and powerful driver towards helping people achieve what they want. I mean, you know, I don't want to draw parallels too much, but, you know, there are so many other business models out there, you know, which focus on, say, health and weight and so on. And that accountability is an important part of that. And I think it's best not to duck it. You know, it's best to be accountable, because accountability will mean you're just taking small steps. You're just taking a small step. It's not like being at school, you know, when you're told off for not doing your homework. It's your work. So if you need to take a month off or 2 months off or 3 months off or go on a sabbatical for a year, it doesn't matter. You know what you're doing. But when you come back and you're saying, this month I'm going to hold myself accountable to get this done, what is the thing you need to get done? Well, it will be obvious inside a community what's the first thing you should do, because we have a plan. And somebody will work with you on the plan to say, right, the first thing you need to do is, right, let's get that done. Second thing you need to do is, and I suppose, Chris, the one that's often overlooked, ignored, and pushed to the back is the roof. So many people avoid taking care of their family, not because they don't want to take care of their families, they don't want to do the work of thinking about the will, thinking about powers of attorney, or knowing where to start. And the fact that we're so focused on that, saying, right, we're getting your roof done, we're getting your family watertight, do you agree to do it? Yes, I do. Let's get it done. And you can pretty much do anything that is foundational, whether it's debits or whether it's the roof, you know, the top and tail of the wealth building process. You can do pretty much any single thing in 30 days, which is why we have the mantra, never let 30 days go by without doing something positive towards building your wealth, whether that's learning something or doing something. But in the end, the doingness is the key. And doing means being accountable to yourself, to your partner, and to somebody else. And a community can be a healthy level of support, not critical support, but warm and encouraging support. So yeah. Number five, accountability.
Yeah. And we've talked about a plan, we've talked about processes, and we have a nine-step recurring revenue roadmap, don't we? We know that is the step-by-step process that everybody has to move through. Yeah. To go from financial insecurity to security to independence. So Each of these things we're talking about are just steps on that process, which we know very well.
Yeah, and you know, we know it works. It doesn't not work, it works. So if you can follow a path that's already well trodden, why would you try and create your own? I mean, it's like you're always going to be pulling yourself apart if you're going against something that doesn't work, or you think it might work, but actually just having somebody to help you understand where you are, it gives you a sense of perspective, you know, because like any GPS, you know, imagine the invention of GPS, but the GPS was just maps, right? But before GPS was maps, what's the difference between a map and GPS? Well, you know where you are. So where you know where you are and you know where you want to go, the GPS will get you there. And that's what Wealth Builders does. But you've got to know where you are. So where you are is you've got to know where your finances are at, what your wealth dynamic is, you know, what kind of areas of interest do you have. You know, we do this, Chris, in another acronym called FIRST. You know, your five forms of leverage, right? Another one. And, you know, we're constantly building the language so that the principles will work for anybody. And I don't think I've seen anything now. I've been doing this for 30 years, Chris, now, probably teaching it, well, whatever, more than 15 now, since 2008, just about then, is when that was the big issue for me, wasn't it? Just realizing traditional financial models were broken because everything crashed in 2008. It's now 2023, so 15 years. And I think we've covered pretty much 9/10 or even 95% of wealth building activities we know. There'll be some things we don't know, and that's, you know, that's going to come out. Of course, that's going to come out with NFTs and new technology and all sorts of things, but the principles will stay the same. And I think we've got those principles nailed, Chris. So anyway, number six.
Yes. Well, you just mentioned step five in the roadmap was leverage FIRST, and the T stands for?
T stands for time. See, everybody, we talked about that at the beginning, the biggest excuse we get, don't have time. Now, I asked you earlier on in a, well, you're a, you know, an engaging audience, Chris, you know, you're a stool pigeon in the audience, aren't you? You know, would you like to be financially independent? Would you pay for it? Yes, you would. But everybody wants to be financially independent, but the thing they won't do is give it time. And I think if, and that's the excuse we get more than anything else, life's getting in the way. Well, that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. But we know that it takes, say, an average of 3 to 7 years, so call it five. But 5 years of time is 60 months, right? You can make 60 decisions, one decision a month. Then that will propel you towards financial independence. So everybody can find some time, but the combination of all of these things, these ideas I'm sharing today, Chris, on community, all interlock, and they kind of like a Venn diagram. They're all working with each other, and what they'll do is will shortcut your time. So if you do something on your own, took me 15 years, I can teach it now in five. Why wouldn't you take the intellectual shortcuts? Why wouldn't you make the distinctions to help you short circuit the time? So you can get to where you want to get to faster, safer, and absolutely more enjoyably. We didn't put that one in the seven, but I'm sure we would wrap that round the outside and say, this is an enjoyable process. It's not a difficult process. Yes, there are some challenges, but it's not difficult or lacking enjoyment. I mean, you see that in the reviews, Chris. People are having fun doing this. And so wealth building should be, because if you're having fun building your wealth, that's going to traverse the next generation as they are sponge-like. They'll get to see that you're enjoying your own journey and they'll want to be part of that journey, because that's what kids do. Kids of all ages, by the way, you know, want to see that you're enjoying your life. And that time leverage is not just a bridge for you to get there faster, but it's also a bridge to help your own children get there faster as well. Because one of the values in the Declaration of Independence, the new Declaration of Independence, is building the wisdom for the sustainability of the wealth in the next generation. So this is time travel, Chris. It's time travel to the future to help the next generation become wealthy, both in mind and in spirit, so that they become a baton holder. You pass the baton on to them and they take the same values that you've been sharing with them and they carry on to the next generation and they carry on to the next generation. And that's the whole idea behind wealth builders. It's intergenerational stuff, and it starts with you giving some time and the community will help you either commit to that time or will help you make the most of what little time that we all know that you have. So number six, Chris, time. Brilliant. Time limit, anyway.
Okay. So number seven. And I think we probably could wrap enjoyment up into seven.
You could. And I think that's probably a byproduct. I think that's something that envelops everything. But I think the tangible outcome, because it's more difficult to measure the intangibility of enjoying it, is you started number one with shared values, and number seven is shared value. Now, what do I mean by the difference? Well, the difference, Chris, as you have kind of shared on many, many occasions, is that people inside the community will often create value for other members within the community, whether that value is a shared business idea, whether it's a shared property project, whether it's being buddies on a journey together, you know. So one person is looking at property, somebody else is looking somewhere else. It's not just about property, of course, all the assets. You can get and bring a value, financial value, to others on the journey. It's in the community value is incredibly powerful, because so many of the businesses that we've seen burst through the Wealth Builders channel have been born out of two people connecting with each other inside the community. And we've seen countless numbers of those. So, and we see that all the time. Now, unless you're in a community where the trust is already assumed, a safe harbor Nobody's trying to take advantage. You know, those values are embedded in everybody. Then you've got more opportunity for that to happen. And I think that's a very, very brilliant thing to see. And I love it when I hear two members getting together to create a business, because it's a powerful thing, whether it's a property business, a normal business, but writing IP, you know, whatever they're doing, there's the shared value that comes from being inside a community that you wouldn't get on your own. I mean, we're often shocked, aren't we, by the employed people who join us, and they kind of look around and go, why are people being so sharing? I'm not used to this. You know, it's like an unusual feeling, isn't it? And for the business owners, often the business owners who are the owners of businesses or the decision makers, and they're not sharing with the people, let's say, who they're employed, because they're thinking about their own business and their own exit and profit, which is not always a feature of being an employee. And they don't have a community, you know. So business owners being in a community of other business owners, other entrepreneurs, which we all are, and we said many times that you have to be an entrepreneur, at least in mind, to be wealthy, because you have to be finding value, seeking value, creating value. And you do that with a combination of all of these things that I shared with you today, Chris. So I think it's been a really useful exercise for me to remind myself of the values that are created inside the community. And whether you build, and in fact, you know, let's widen it just for a moment, Chris, because I'm just about this week, in fact, as we're recording this, to go on a podcast as a guest, as I often do with one of Wealth Builders, friends of Wealth Builders, a guy called Daniel Hill. And he's guested on our podcast before, and I'm sure you could signpost that, Chris, where Dan Hill, you know, gave his best to help make distinctions and differences to Wealth Builder members. And he's written a new book, and, you know, I was just kind of diving into what was the purpose of the book. It's got a very unusual title, and it made me think, and it's called Karma Credits. And it's kind of, it's an unusual one, because it's not linked to the idea of you need to do something necessarily in person, right? So the in-person relationship we're talking about in Wealth Builders is, there's another, I'll come back to Karma Credits in a minute, but the principle of working with people is something that we like, which is the Stephen Covey's language called the emotional bank account. And by the way, absorb anybody's language. I'm shameless. I don't mind. I'll always give the credit to the owner of the language, because I think that's important for IP purposes. But Stephen Covey, no longer with us, sadly, the author of Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, also had this concept called the emotional bank account, where in life, when you're building relationships with people, you're either making a deposit, Chris, or making withdrawal. And the idea is to keep making deposits with people. Then you've got that relationship on which you can bank. And we've all met people who are takers, but I think the principle behind wealth building and the emotional bank account is be a giver, so to keep making deposits. Now, that's one-to-one, and, you know, I kind of keep a constant measure on that, at least in principle. You can't measure it actually, but you can feel it. But the karma credits, which is interesting, is more about just giving things out to the world, you know, just doing things that are selfless. And that's a very unusual thing in the context of a successful business person, just to be talking about that. And so I sort of dived in a little bit more to what he meant by that. And I would encourage people to check that out, you know, because karma credits, giving things out to the world, just being nice and doing things selflessly, not to measure, not because you've got the relationship. It's precisely because you don't have the relationship. You just want to do good things in the world. And I was testing it out just the other day. You know, I was on a dog walk and I thought, well, I'm listening to him on the podcast. I listen to other people's podcasts when I'm walking the dog. And I just started to engage with people more. Instead of being, because, you know, we talked about leverage of time. So I have my headphones on, or my earbuds, or whatever you call them these days. And I don't have the big ones because I need to be kind of susceptible or for noise for the dog and so on. Anyway, and I just started bumping into people and stopping taking them out and talking and engaging, just wanting to do that, just a little test. And, you know, it was fascinating, even when I went in for a cup of coffee at the end of the walk and I was talking to the owner of the coffee shop. And I'd never spoken to him before because I always go, just cappuccino outside, I'm with the dog. And, you know, so I took them out and cappuccino. And he said, what's the name of your dog? And I said, Alan. Named after Alan Shearer. He said, oh, yeah, that's interesting. He said, oh, I'm Michael and I'm Kevin. And then a couple of minutes later, he brought out treats for the dog, you know, and I never really engaged with him before. So it was a tiny little thing. The Karma Credits was just, it's like an extension of community, isn't it? It's like be a nice person in life when nobody's looking. And that would stand us all in good stead as well. So anyway, it's not apropos of the seven reasons, but I think it's just all part of this whole selflessness approach, Chris, that we want to let people know is indelible as far as wealth builders are concerned. And join us because, you know, you'll find that. And I hope you'll find your wealth building experience all the more enjoyable as we wrap it all up, Chris, because it's a tough journey to become financially independent. It's not easy. We make it sound easy, but it isn't. You've got to do some hard work, and the more you can put good things around you to make that hard work easier, then the better it is. So there we go, Chris, the seven values, Karma Credits, and the emotional bank account. What a session. Hope you enjoyed that.
That's right. And it's all about just taking that first step. So take that first step, sign the declaration. You can head to wealthbuilders.co.uk/declaration, download a copy, see pictures of our community members sharing theirs. And feel free to post that in the Facebook group. You know, let us know who you are, where you're from, and let's start building that 50,000 together, Kevin. It's very, very exciting.
Yeah. All right.
Good. Okay. Really enjoyed that. So thanks for listening, as always. And if you enjoyed this episode, please do share it with a friend. And Kevin, you and I will be back same time, same place next week.
We will indeed. And until then, my friend, see ya.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Don't forget that we are constantly updating our resources inside the Wealth Builders membership site to help you create, build, and protect your wealth. Head over to wealthbuilders.co.uk/membership right now for free access. That's wealthbuilders.co.uk/membership.